Ephesians chapter 1. I thought about it all day. I had such a good time this morning. I couldn't get a nap. I tried to get a nap. Every time I'd try to get a nap, I'd see Deborah dancing down the aisle. It wake me up. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all present. You cannot limit God. You can't stop God. You can't hinder God. I've heard people say, well, you hinder the Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. If he don't want to be hindered, you can't hinder God. And he'll run right over you if he has to get done what he wants done. Amen? But occasionally, if we don't watch out, we'll get discouraged and we'll lose sight of the ability of God. And I want to talk to you about that tonight, about don't lose sight of the ability of God. If you will, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, if you will, skip over to chapter 3, verse 20. Just turn one page there. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and world without end. Father, help us tonight, and we're like little Samuel. Eli told him, said, the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And tonight, we're like that little Samuel. We're seeking to hear from you. So, Lord, we know through your word you speak, through your spirit you move. And tonight, I pray you would save, reclaim, bless, encourage, do whatever needs to be done in our hearts tonight. And help us, Lord. There's some faithful people here tonight. They were here this morning. They'll be here Wednesday night. Others are not so much so, but these are people that want to sit at your feet, like I was talking about this morning. They want more, so I pray tonight you'd feed us, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. God is not limited. Do not lose sight of the ability of God. All things are possible. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God does not know. There's nothing that God has not already seen. He's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. And so do not lose the sight of the ability of God. There's a lot of people, they get saved, you know, and they receive Christ, and they're all on fire, and they're all excited, and they read their Bible, and they go to church, and they witness a little bit, you know, and they try to live right, and things begin to happen, and pretty soon they get discouraged, and they get out of church, they quit reading their Bible, they quit praying, they quit witnessing, and years later you'll see them, Brother Billy, and you won't even recognize them as the same as what you knew them before, because they have lost sight of the ability of God. Maybe God didn't answer a prayer the way that they thought he ought to. Maybe something didn't go the way they thought it ought to go. Maybe they didn't agree with things down at the church house. Maybe they didn't agree with the preacher. Maybe they didn't agree with the Sunday school teacher or something. But if you'll let the devil give you a reason, he'll give you a reason to lose sight of the ability of God. And listen, you'll give up on that lost loved one, and you'll give up on getting a victory over sin and habits in your life, and you'll give up on everything. You'll just quit. And look, you may be saved on your way to heaven, but you're going to get into heaven yet so is by fire. You're just barely going to make it in because you don't have any works to burn up or reward. And so therefore tonight, I want to give you a few reasons, just about four reasons, why the things, not why, but the things that will cause us to lose sight of the ability of God. And I want you to write these down. And I want you to remember them because we all have them. We all go through the same things. People come in and they say, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." Yeah, I do. I've been doing this a long time. I know exactly what you're going through. And then nobody's ever been through this. Yeah, a lot of people's been through this. Everybody's tempted in like manner. Amen. Everybody goes through trial and tribulation. Number one, I want to show you something that will cause you to lose sight of the ability of God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. This is the one you'll hear the most of. Deuteronomy 1, verse 28. Say amen when you get there. I want you to mark it in your Bible. Deuteronomy 1, 28. We're going to do like the Quakers. I'm going to stand up here till you say something. Amen. "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims." That's the giants, Goliath's people. Now, they were about to go into the promised land. And they said, "How are we going to do that? How are we going to go up in there? How are we going to do that? We've been over there. And there's some big towns over there with a lot of people in them. And on top of that, there's some big people over there. How are we going to do that?" And it says, "Our brethren discouraged us." The number one problem that will make you lose sight of the ability of God is the brethren will discourage you. Now, look. Everybody that goes to church, everybody that comes to this church probably, I don't know, but everybody that goes to church is not always good to listen to. Amen. Amen. Some people, if you got a silver lining, they'll put a black cloud right in the middle of it. Amen. "Well, ain't it a beautiful day?" "Yeah, but my hip hurts. It's with rheumatism. We're probably going to get rain tonight." Yeah, yeah. Boy, ain't those flowers, look at the flowers and look at the trees blossoming. What a beautiful day. "Yeah, but it's killing my sinuses. I wish it all die." Amen. They're in every crowd. They're in every crowd. Amen. "It killed my sinuses." But you know what I did yesterday? I rolled down all four of my windows, turned the air conditioning off, and rode down the road and just went, "Oh man, it smells so good." And today I'm sick. No, but... But yesterday I cut grass is why I'm like I am now. But look, if you let people do it, there are some naysayers everywhere you go. There's naysayers. "Did you see what happened in church this morning? Glory come down." Yeah, but you just watch out. Every time that happens, the devil's going to get after us. Ain't that what they say? Watch out. Every time you get a blessing, you go to somebody, you say, "Brother Ron, I've been getting a blessing week after week, day after day. God's been blessing me." And you'll find some old naysayer say, "You better watch out. When the devil finds out about it, he's going to whoop you real good." No. No. Hey, if you listen to people, for instance, you say, people say, "Where do you go to church?" And you say, "I go over at Cornerstone Baptist Church, the best little country church in town." And they'll say, "I heard some stuff about that place. Yeah, that preacher, he's a dictator. You can't do nothing over there. We ain't got no seven, they won't let you sing no 7-Eleven songs." 7 words, 11 times. 7 words, 11 times. Got you on another one, didn't it? And they just sing that over and over, and they light their little cigarette lighter and say, "Come by ya, my Lord." No, we ain't singing that junk. We're going to sing some good old-fashioned Bible-based singing. Amen. Well, I heard about that church. I heard the other day there was a woman dance a jig down there at that church while the preacher was preaching. I heard y'all let women say stuff. Amen. I heard it. Hey, I heard that you let anybody sing. Billy Bird just sings down there. Amen. Look, if you let people, they will discourage you. Here's what it is. They're so backslid, they don't get a blessing anymore, and they're jealous because you got one. They're jealous of what God's doing for you, and they will naysay. And they'll lose their faith that God has the ability to do anything, and then when you have it, they can't stand it that you got that faith. 10 spies went out. 2 came back. 10 had a bad report. And 2 didn't. Amen? And it's about the same at church. It's about, there's probably 2 out of 10 that'll really brag on what the Lord's doing. Amen? Now, if you don't watch out, you get hanging around that crowd of naysayers. And the brethren, he said, the brethren discouraged us. You see, the brethren's continually discussing, having committee meetings, having investigations about what to do and how to do it, and they have so many meetings and so many committees and so many discussions, they don't ever do a stinking thing. That's right. So then when you go to do something, they'll say, whoa, wait a minute, that ain't what we do at our church. We got a committee for that. Yeah, that's why I ain't doing nothing. Amen. That's why nobody gets saved. And boy, you go to church, you get happy, you know, and the brethren discourage you. She'll say, now, you know you don't have to go to church all the time. I mean, you're going on Sunday. What more do they expect down there? And now you're going Sunday night. And now you're going Wednesday night. The next thing you know, you're going to be carrying a Bible with you everywhere you go. And then you're going to embarrass yourself. Everybody's already talking about you. Amen? That's exactly what the brethren will do. You better watch out. And all it is old-fashioned. They've lost the sight of the ability of God in their lives because they're unfaithful and they're untrustworthy and they won't do anything. And when you try to do something, the brethren will discourage you. Now you come down here, I'll probably keep them mad enough where they don't come. I don't think we have any like that. We've had a few. We've had a few. Amen. We've had a few, haven't we? That's what I preached this morning. That's okay. Amen. Because if all they're going to do is criticize and backbite and gossip and slander, you're better off away from those people. I don't get around those people. By the way, I'm the last one to know anyway. Nobody tells me anything. My wife said, they're scared of you. I said, you know they don't know me. She said, I know you. They shouldn't be scared of you. But they're, because of the way you preach, they're afraid of you. Well, that's only because they're afraid I'm going to call their name out in one of my sermons. I might do it. I've done yours. Amen. One night, Billy laid out of church, and I got my phone. Billy, you know we're having church tonight? I started doing it to Danny tonight. He did he fake the cough. Rachel, I ain't been I forgot what he said. But look, stay away from that crowd. Stay away from that crowd. They will try to explain away every blessing that God's ever give you. Amen. 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 Number 2, turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'm talking about four things that will cause us to lose sight of the ability of God. Galatians, look at it. Chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Say amen when you get there. We'll be here all night. It ain't that the preacher's long-winded. It's just you're a slow page turner. Galatians 6, verse 9. You got it? I ain't heard nobody say amen. Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, here's something that will make you lose the sight of the ability of God in your life and other people's lives, you will battle. You'll get battle-worn. You'll be fighting old devil, his crowd. You'll fight discouragement. You'll fight all kind of stuff. And you'll get battle-worn, and you'll get discouraged, and you'll get tired, and you'll sit down on God, and you'll forget what God's done for you in the past. I've known some people that God's done miracles in their lives. And if you want to find them, you'll never find them at church. You'll have to go to their house and find them. That doesn't mean that they didn't believe like me one time. They did. That doesn't mean they didn't appreciate the things of God like you. They did. But they got battle-worn, and they got tired, and they got discouraged, and they sat down, and they gave up. You say, well, preacher, we all get tired. Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's why we go back to the fountain. That's why we go back to His feet. That's why we pray for power. That's why we pray the Holy Spirit will fill us. That's His job, to empower us, to give us the power that we need to go on. That's His job. And that's why we don't quit. And that's why we don't back up. And that's why we don't sit down. Yes, there's going to be some battles. You didn't start fighting in this war till you got saved. You wasn't in a war. Everything was fine. You was happy, the devil was happy, the world was happy, and then you messed up and believed on Jesus, and you got saved, and you got eternal life, and you got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all hell's mad at you. Don't you think there's going to be some battles now? Don't you? Well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me this when I got saved. Did they tell you, Billy? You don't need to know. I found out pretty quick. But I'm glad they didn't tell me. I probably wouldn't have got saved if they told me. But boy, hey, about it, boy, hey, at first it was, you hear about old Ron. He started going to church. He quit drinking. You know, Ron don't tell dirty jokes anymore. You know, Ron, he treats his wife and his kids better now. You know, he pays his bills on time. Ron. Oh, Ron Roddy. Ron Robinson, too. And they said stuff like that. But then you got Sears. And they said, the boy's gone religion crazy. He's lost his mind. Hey, he thinks he's going to heaven. He thinks he's going to heaven. I know him. He ain't going to heaven. I remember when. Amen. And boy, the battle's on then, buddy. The battle is on. And then you go home, and the old devil's been over at your house all day, and your wife's done burnt the cornbread, and the beans ain't done, and the cabbage is too salty, and you go in there, and you've been picked on by your boss all day, and the devil's in every bit of that, and all of a sudden, you forget how good God is, and you start complaining about where you are. Amen. Well, you don't love me like you used to. You used to cook cornbread and put a little sugar in it. Do you put cornbread, sugar in cornbread? Don't tell my wife I know that. She don't know that I know that. But see, when you get saved, when you sell out, the battle's on. And you know what? I don't like to fight. How many of y'all like, Ron, don't raise your hand. How many of y'all don't like to fight? Don't like to fight. Amen. I don't like to fight. I don't like to fuss. I don't like to fight. I avoid it at all costs. Don't y'all? Don't you? Don't you? I know you used to like to fight. You don't like to fight no more. Amen. The flesh comes out crucified. Look, we don't like to fight. So you know what we do? We avoid the problem. And sometimes the problem is the devil just puts people in our life and things in our life and things going on in our life that we either got to fight or sit down. So we forget the ability of God to bring us through that stuff. And how many husbands have you seen set down by a woman that wouldn't get right with God? How many women have you seen get set down by a man that wouldn't get right with God? How many parents have you seen that their teenagers destroyed their happy home because they wanted to live like the devil and raise the devil, and parents got tired of fighting their own youngins and they sit down? Y'all with me? You still with me, ain't you? Amen. Y'all older folks, you know what I'm talking about. And so if you don't look out, you'll forget that God changed you. He can change them. And you forget God had the power to overturn your whole life, and He can overturn their whole life too. Amen? Number three, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I said, number one, we get discouraged by the brethren that discourage us, the battles that defeat us. And then I want you to look at John chapter 11. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, he says, "But then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Skip down to verse 32. In verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Now look at verse 37. In verse 37, "Some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died?" If you don't watch out, you'll lose sight of the ability of God because your burdens depress you. You'll get depressed. You'll get depressed and you'll start blaming God. And you'll say, "God, why didn't you? God, you could have. God, if you'd have done this or you'd done that, I wouldn't be where I am today." God, and you don't watch out. Your circumstances, trials, tribulations, just like her. Lazarus was dead. And they asked him to come while he was sick. He could have healed him, couldn't he? But he told them, "No, I'm not going." Because what's happening to Lazarus is going to get God a lot of glory. And when he got down there, they said, he said, "Roll back that stone." And they said, "Lord, he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. He's dead. He's dead, dead." You know, kind of like walking down to the funeral home and looking at this guy and saying, "Well, he's dead." And then looking at this other guy and saying, "He's really dead." Amen? 4 days. 4 days he'd been dead. And he said, "You just roll back that stone. I'll take care of it." And he hollered his name. Lazarus come forth. And Lazarus wobbled out of there all wrapped up in that cloth. And he said, "Loose him and let him go." Amen? Amen. Loose him. Let him go. You see, God has the ability to do that. But see, before he done that, they said, "Lord, if you had done this, he wouldn't be dead. Lord, if you'd done that, he wouldn't be dead." But what they didn't know, God had a bigger plan than their plan. They was wanting him to be healed and later on die. And God said, "I'm going to let him die to show you what being healed really is. Raised him from the dead." Amen. Now, if you don't watch out, you'll get discouraged from the circumstances because you don't remember the ability of God in another case where he stepped in. See, we get spoiled sometimes. We get the blessings of God and we just get happy and we get satisfied and we get settled and then we forget we're in a war. You're on R&R, that's all. You know what R&R is in the military? Rest and relaxation. The Lord just give you a little rest and relaxation. But look out. You ain't in heaven yet. So when the battle comes again, you say, "Lord, why is this happening to me? I'll go to church and I read my Bible and I pray and I try to be a witness. I'm just going to give it all up. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't reading that Bible. You didn't answer my prayer." Well, listen, he might be waiting for something better than what you're praying for. I pray for my grandchildren to move back up here every day. 3 times a day I pray that from Florida. And this is what I say, "Lord, bring them back as quick as you can." And I said, "Bring them back to where I am, if it be thy will." Amen. You know why I say that? Not because I think he might want to punish me, but because he may have something better than what I'm asking for. Amen. If you don't watch out, you'll lose the sight of the ability of God because the brethren discourage you, the battles that defeat you, the burdens that will depress you. Now, depression is an awful thing. I don't know if y'all even know anything about it. So I myself, it runs in my family. We battle depression. We always have. My family was that one with the dark cloud, never a silver lining. My wife and kids, well, my kids, they'll tell me, my girls, whenever we all get together, I'll start telling a story. They say, "Daddy, don't tell a story." Please don't tell us a story. All your stories are sad, Daddy. Please don't tell us no story about when you were little. It's sad, Daddy. And that's only because they've had such a blessed life. So my story sounds sad. I said, yeah, but they all end good. All end good. Amen. So you got to watch out. You'll get depressed. Now, depression, listen, depression is a terrible thing. It'll make you think that nobody loves you and nobody cares about you. And I'm going to tell you what, preachers, real preachers, I don't know about the crooks, but real preachers, usually you read history books about real preachers, about D.L. Moody. He preached to thousands of people. He preached over 1 million people was saved during his lifetime ministry. And you'll read stories about him where he would preach a great sermon and go hide out for 2 or 3 weeks depressed, thought he'd failed God. Whitfield, Spurgeon, all those, they'd have great depression. After great victories, they'd have a great depression. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you see the ability of God, watch out, because right after that, if you don't look out, the devil will make you think it wasn't real, it wasn't good, nobody cares, nobody saw it, nobody's praying about it, nobody will ever recognize what you do, and you'll get depressed. You'll get depressed. And I'm going to tell you something. That depression medicine usually makes you more depressed. What you need to do, you need to get your eyes back on Jesus. Amen? Let me tell you something. Would you agree with me that he was the greatest man that ever walked planet Earth? He was a God man. He was God in human flesh. Would you agree with me that he did the greatest works of any human being that's ever lived? The Bible says the libraries couldn't even hold the books if they were all written. Now, would you agree with me that what they did to him was a terrible thing? They lied on him. They falsely accused him. They persecuted him. They ostracized him. They kicked him out of the temple. Wait a minute. That sounds like us, don't it? He didn't get depressed. the Bible says he set his face like a flint and he headed toward that cross because he knew that's where he was supposed to go. Now he got in the garden and he prayed as it was great sweats of blood, you know, great drops of blood. He sweated while he was praying. But that was not the prayer and the depression and defeat. That was, he was saying, Father, if you will, take this cup from me. He didn't mean death. He wasn't afraid of death. He had never experienced sin. And thinking about carrying the sin of the whole world on him, on that human body, it was depressing. But see, you and I can't do that because we're not carrying that sin. He carried it for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I'm going to heaven. There's no need for me to be depressed. And if today's bad, tomorrow will probably be better. Amen. And if tomorrow's not better, the next day will be. And if no day's better, I know the worst thing can happen to me is I die and I go to heaven. I'm still a winner. Amen? Watch out for that depression. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. I'm going to have to get out my summer coat. I'm about to burn up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Look at it with me. Oh, boy, it's going to get quiet now. Say amen. All right, you got it? I want you to mark this one. Hebrews 12, 5. Writing to the saints. Now, this is written to Christians only. You can write Christian only on this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see that? Do you see what he's saying? Don't get discouraged because God is chastening you. Don't get discouraged because God gives you a little whipping. Here's what he's saying. Don't get bitter. Let it make you better. Now, we've all been chasing the Lord. If you've been saved very long, the Lord has whipped you one way or another. It may be emotionally, it may be spiritually, it may be physically, it may be financially, but somewhere in your life since you've been saved, you have sinned and God has had to whip you.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been to the woodshed many times. God has whipped me. And I'd like to say every time worked out the way He wanted it to, but sometimes I have to go back. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, help me. He said, now, you endure that whipping. Endure it. When I was a little boy, I'll never forget. Mama would get out that switch, and after I got about 11 or 12 years old, when I was 8, 10 years old, she'd whip me, and I'd dance and cry, and she'd chase me around that room, you know, and I'd be crying, Mama, 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 quit me. Quit with me, Mama. I won't do it no more. You remember that? But then I got about 12 or 13 years old, she'd hit me with that little old switch, and I'd just stand there. I'm big boy now. Didn't bother me at all. Then I got about 14 or 15, and me and my brother Donnie got in a fist fight, as we did about every day. And she took a broom handle and beat us till she broke that broom handle. That happened to you? They hit you in the head, didn't they? I'm talking about that thing hurt. Amen? I remember one time in my life growing up, one time I looked at my mom as a teenager and I said, I hate you. I hate you. And you know, I look back on that now and I think, boy, I couldn't hurt my mama no worse than if I took the broom away from her and beat her with it. I should have endured that whipping. And thank God I had a mama that would let me stay at home and whip me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't sit there and act like you ain't never had a whipping. Says right here, every father that loves his children chastens them. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say, I don't believe in whipping children. You don't believe the Bible? Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says don't spare them for their much crying. Amen.
Amen.
You get you a little, when they're little, you get you a little old hickory switch, and it won't take much, will it, Billy? Just about four or five little swats. Amen. Yeah, sometimes you show it. But you know what? If you don't, somebody else is going to be whipping them. You're going to be whipping them down at the jail, down at the chain gang. Over there in the hospital, they're going to be laid up with a whipping the world put on them. Amen. Come on, help me. And as a child of God, we'll not get discouraged and quit seeing the ability of God just because He chastens us. We'll look up to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. You care enough about me not to let me go to hell, that you whip me instead of casting me off. Don't let a little whipping discourage you. Don't lose sight of the ability of God. The sun's coming up in the morning. He still loves you. Things are going to get better. I don't enjoy whipping. You don't either. But just hang in there. It's going to get better. Hey, the whipping's going to make it better.
Amen.
Here's what I always did with my kids when I whipped them. Number one, I cried. I did. I whipped my children. I'd cry. Because they were girls. And I didn't like whipping a little girl. And if I'd had sons, I'd laughed. I'd have said, you little devil. No. But I used to whip my kids and I'd cry. And then I'd leave the room so they couldn't see me cry. And then after everything got settled down, I'd go back in there and I'd sit down beside them. I'd say, you know, I love you, don't you? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't do nothing if I didn't love you. I'd just let you go on and you'd go to hell and you'd end up in a wrecked life and everything else. And I'm not going to let you do that because I love you. And you know what? Today they'll tell you that they know that. Do not lose sight of the ability of God in your life just because He whipped you every once in a while. Now listen to this. He said, if you endure chastisement, you're one of His. I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's lost other than me. I know my heart. I know that day it happened. I was there. But I've seen a lot of people make professions of faith, come down to an altar, fall on the altar, weep, cry, get up weeping and crying, and you think, boy, they're gloriously saved. Things are going to be different. In 6 months, they're right back where they were. Like the Bible says, the dog returned to the vomit and the pig went back to the wallow. And you wonder, did they get what I get? They didn't get what you got.
Amen.
If they had gotten what you got, the devil couldn't have took them back. The Lord would have whipped them. See?
Amen. Yeah.
But sometimes people do that. They'll go back and I'll go see them and I'll say, what happened? They'll say, well, preacher, the Lord didn't help me at all. One time this happened and this happened and this happened and I was so disappointed. And I said, have you ever thought it might be a testing to see if you got the real thing?
Amen. Come on, man.
Yep. Amen. Do not lose the sight of the ability of God in your life just because He whipped you. Just like you don't think your mom and dad hate you just because they chasing you. They love you or they wouldn't chase you. Now, I'm not talking about abusing. I'm talking about chasing. God don't abuse His children. He chastens them. Amen? You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? That's okay. Either way. Listen. Did y'all know I don't preach for y'all? I preach for Him. And I try to please Him. If that pleases you, I love it. If it don't, I'm sorry. But I'm preaching for Him. Now, if I'm preaching for Him, it ought to help you. If it don't help you, there's something wrong with you. It ain't me. Amen. Because I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Last but not least, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Boy, here's a good one. My subject is, do not lose the sight of the ability of God in your life. These are some things that cause people to lose sight of the ability of God in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Lord chastens you, but sometimes He lets the devil buffet you. Here's the difference. A buffet is a chastening is a long process. The Apostle Paul, greatest preacher ever walked the earth beside John the Baptist, Jesus said there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost himself, wrote these words down. He said God's been doing great things through him, and he named all a bunch of this stuff, you know. And he said, and just so I wouldn't get overconfident, we'd say in South Carolina, the big head, the Lord allowed Satan to put a thorn in me to keep me in my place. I'm telling you, don't look. Don't lose the sight of the ability of God just because God allows the devil to do a little something in your life to keep you in line. Who attacked Job? Tell me. Whose permission did he have to get before he did it? Who sicked the devil on Job? He sicked him on him. Out of all the means of people in the world, he said, have you considered Job? Boy, I want my name written down in heaven, but I don't know if I want it called out like that. Amen. 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 But listen, don't get discouraged because, look, God used Satan as a tool to, number one, get him glory, and number two, to give Job twice as much as he ever had to start with. Go back and read it. And besides that, Job had a little sin in his life he needed to get rid of him. He didn't even know it. He didn't even know it. All his friends come try to point out things that wasn't wrong with him. They thought was wrong with him, but it wasn't. And then I think it's chapter 41. It says he repented of pride. He repented of pride. You know, he kept bragging to those boys. He kept saying, well, I ain't never done that. I ain't never done that. I ain't done nothing. What's God doing this to me for? I'm going to just eat dirt and die. Why am I doing this? And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die, you stupid Baptist? You ain't got nothing to look forward to. You're sitting on an ash heap. You're covered with sores. You lost your cattle. You lost your sheep. You lost your goats. You lost your camels. You lost your children. You lost your plantation. You've lost it all. You ain't got nobody but wonderful me. Why don't you curse God and die? With a woman like that, who needs enemies? But there in chapter 41, he repented of self-righteousness. You know who caused him to do that? The Lord allowed Satan to do the work. Now, sometimes, you know, we'll do things for God, and people will brag on us. People say, Bill, you sure are a good Christian, man. I tell you what, I ain't never met a man as good as you are. I mean, my goodness, you're a good father and you're a good husband. That's usually the kind of stuff your wife's telling you when she wants you to spend some money, right? And boy, there ain't never been a better, I'm telling you. And your head will start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon you'll start thinking you everything in a bag of chips too. Yeah? You'll think, boy, they might be right. Well, I'm somebody. Woo! Hallelujah! Look at me! Woo! Yeah, yeah. And that's when the Lord lets the devil come over and remind you what you're really made out of.
Amen. Yeah. Come
on. But you know why? While that's going on, you need to remember where he brought you from. And you need to do what he says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. He's the one that finished it. You cannot affect it in any way. It's out of your hands. It's in his hands. His hand's in the Father's hand. You're in his hand. No man can pluck you out. Neither height, no, whatever. Nothing can change that. Listen to me. Don't get discouraged and lose sight of the ability of God because you're going through a little something the devil's thrown at you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Well, preacher, what do we do? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll be finishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think I preached about 3 hours this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Say amen when you get there. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. You see that? Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He hath, he doth, and he yet will. So, look, when you start losing the sight of the ability of God, and all these things come around you, you need to remember, he hath that day in that Pentecostal church up there in above York, South Carolina. He showed up. Amen? He hath. He's already done that. It's past. It's done. It's finished. He doth. That's right now. He's doing. He doth. He does. He doth. Right now. Right now. And listen, he yet will deliver us. He yet will. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. You may be going down a dark path, but I've got news for you. Look back where the sun shines. And then look ahead because that sun's coming up. That same sun that you lost back there is coming back right up the road somewhere. You will not stay where you are. That the ability of God will not allow us to be defeated unless we want to be.
Amen.
Now, if you want to sit down, He'll let you. But if you want the victory, you can have it. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. Still praying as onward bound. Amen. Now, what we got to do, we got to ignore all those hindrances and remember the ability of a sovereign God to do anything that we need, and He'll do more than we can think or ask.
Amen.
Where are you at tonight? The brethren discourage you? Your situation is discouraging you? Your health is discouraging you? Finances is discouraging you? Let me tell you something. This too will pass. It'll pass. Be patient. Wait on the Lord, and you'll renew your strength. Come on, brother, let's play.